There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention.
The government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Lou is having a heck of a time getting this thing to record. Oh, so the music just stopped. What was that? This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live and in crisis mode as always. Not a big crisis, just Lou has no idea what the computer's trying to get him to do. For some reason, it won't let him record the show, so again, we depend heavily on Olima to make sure that we get the show archived. We haven't spoken to you since, I think it was a couple days before Christmas. And all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Just my big, mean spouse. She's chasing me around with a machete. She's not listening. She's on the other side of the room. We are doing the best we can with what we have here, and we are trying to get on the air every day, and sometimes it's harder than others, but I continue to thank you guys for your continued prayers and support. I'm watching Lou here. We're not going to be able to record it. I won't let you do it. Okay. I'll have to figure out what's wrong with that later. But the show, it's Monday. I don't even know what date it is. What day is it, Lou? Lou, what day is it?
I don't know.
You don't know? Nobody? The 27th. Thank you. Who said that? Thank you, Stacey. The 27th of December, 2010. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We try to come to you every day, Monday through Friday, holidays and bizarre acts of chaos aside. And we like to bring you a militant Christian worldview, some survivalism, some history, just a mixture of all of it. And you may find the same kind of thing somewhere else, but I don't think you're going to find it with a warped sense of humor that we bring it to you. We do the best we can in finding this stuff out and sharing it with you, coming up with new topics. And where do we do this from? Well, we're the little hamlet of Kauai. It's actually a commonwealth of Kauai. Did we just crash?
No.
Don't keep trying. Just let it go. Don't worry about recording it. I'd rather we broadcast and let it float on the ether than jeopardize the transmission. So thank you, Lou, for trying anyway. But the Commonwealth of Kauai is in the Central California Mountains, Sierra Nevadas, just outside Sequoia National Park, Central California. If you know where Visalia is, find Fresno, go south about 45, 50 miles, and then you'll find a little town called Visalia. That's how they say it when they live in Visalia, because they're all uppity. Visalia. And you go east of there about 40 miles up the 198 highway road. It's a two-lane road. Most of the way, and it goes up into the mountains. You'll see a little town called Three Rivers. Three Rivers. Tres Rios. Three Rivers, which is funny because there's actually four rivers, but they call it Three Rivers. I still haven't figured that out. And behind that, off the North Fork, you will find a little community called Kauai. Been here for a long, long time. And it has changed hands. It started out with Marxist communalists, because they weren't really communists at that time, from Europe and all over that came here, and it's been cowboys, hippies, and now we're trying to take it over. The church has been here since the mid-1960s. It's been an uphill battle, but things are starting to roll. We're starting to generate some interest. Of course, you have to have crisis in America before people pay attention to any gospel or any wise saying. You take the gospel out of it, just being smart and preparing and training and fighting tyranny. People don't want to hear about it. They want to stay comfortable. They're like, well, as long as it doesn't affect me, I don't want to get involved in it. And but things are starting to change. We're having people show up. We're having people talking about moving up here. You guys know I put the call out several times. And we're trying to get people to move into the area, move onto the property, and do that. Every Thursday night, we have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell on with Practical Christianity. If you want to find out what our church is like, that's a great time to listen in. Practical Christianity. We didn't have him on last Thursday. What sermon did we play, Lewis? He's drawing a blank. He's not sure. You don't know what sermon we play?
No.
Was it Spirit of Fear?
No.
Was it Lewis Needs to Have a Better Memory?
No.
No. But we played some sermons last Thursday instead, and so you guys got that. Tomorrow, which is Tuesday, we'll have Steve Klein on again from Code 20, the AbolishIslam.com. What you're hearing in the background is Ruger the Wonder Dog attacking a skunk. Not a real skunk. It's a toy skunk with squeakers in it, but it's funny. He's coming along. And this week also we're going to have Lane Lawless on, which will be giving us a little bit of background. I don't know what day she's going to be on, but it may take all 2 hours. She's going to be up. She's going to tell us about minute person, minute man. People, I've had minute women go, you can't say minute man. Where women's it? Well, Minuteman. The word is Minuteman. Minuteman, Shauna Ford, who is being held behind the wire for a crime she did not commit. And we're also going to, it's probably going to be a recorded jailhouse interview. They're not going to let me have her on live. But what we're going to do is we'll arrange a time during the day, probably when the show's not on. And we're going to get some time with Miss Shauna Ford also. So I want to have Lane on, Lane Lawless, to tell us the history and the background, because the evil tyrant guards won't let her talk about her case on the phone. And I'm sure her lawyer has something to do with that, too. You know how lawyers are. So it's probably in her best interest and part of censorship, too. So what we will talk to Shauna Ford about will be just the border in general, politics, the nature of America, and those kind of things. And we may only get about a 15 to 20-minute interview with her. So we're going to do the best we can. Are we transmitting, guys? Because they're saying it's a repeat. Minuteman saying it sounds like a repeat. Are we still going out, Lou?
Yeah.
Boy, we're just having all kinds of problems. Everybody, I mean, it worked fine until we go to air. So, okay, there you go, Minuteman. But so we'll have her on. We're trying to talk some other folks into coming on the radio. Don't forget that Pastor Warren Mark Campbell will need your traveling prayers coming up. There will be no church this coming Sunday because he is going to Montana, and he's going to be speaking before a combined session of the House and Assembly there for their inaugural. What do they do? What do they call that? Invocation, convocation, invocation. I never remember the term. But he's going to be speaking on covenants and compacts. And it's going to be a Christian presentation to all them politicians. So we'll have to be praying for him. He's going to be flying. I don't envy him that. And the way that they're flying him to Montana, he has to go from Fresno to Los Angeles to somewhere in Colorado. I'm thinking it's either Denver or Colorado Springs. And then like to Portland. It's ridiculous. It's insane. What? I mean, in this modern day and age, you know, if it were me, it's a 14-hour drive. I checked 14 or 15-hour drive. I would, you know, if it were up to me. But this time of year, you don't know. I mean, look what's going on in America right now. You're getting these record-breaking winter storms, and everybody's stranded for hours. So it's, I guess, you got to fly, and that's even not guaranteed, right? So I'll be praying for the pastor to get there and have a good. Actually, Minuteman's asking if I'm filling in as junior pastor. I actually approached him and said I would, but he says it's too late now, and he's already told people the church is going to be closed. Because I had a really good sermon that I wanted to preach in his absence about how certain people in the church really annoy me and they need to leave. I'm just kidding. So next time I told him, you know, give me some heads up and I'll come up with a decent study or something we can do. I love doing Bible studies and Sunday schools and lessons and things like that. Though to say, I've never actually preached in a church. I've preached on street corners, so we might be able to, you know, that would be good. But so we're not going to have church on Sunday, and the pastor's going to be traveling. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the way these storms have paralyzed the United States. Everybody's all upset because they didn't play some NFL game on Christmas Day because, you know, the snow, and everybody's like, oh, it's football, it's not baseball. But what they weren't thinking about, could you imagine 40 to 50,000 people leaving a stadium in a blizzard? Who cares about the football? And the people that were out on the roads on Christmas Day still got stuck in their cars for 10, 12, 15 hours. It would be interesting to see what would happen if you'd had an additional 40 to 50,000 football idiots out there. Not all people like football are idiots, but you know what I'm saying. That's a religion to them. That's why they're upset. They didn't get to do their Sunday football service or whatever you call it. But people just weren't prepared. And what did we talk about last week when I was using our example of me not having the jack and the jack handle and all that stuff? Just imagine, you know, let's say, okay, there's 40,000 people. Let's say that's 20,000 cars. Let's say probably 15,000 cars. Who goes to a football game alone? 15,000 cars extra out there on the road, the National Guard, Highway Patrol, everybody had to go rescue. And they're upset about that they didn't have a football game, that they postponed it. Because I guarantee you, if my car's not ready. Now, if we'd have stopped and needed food, we'd have been okay, huh, Stace? I got 3 or 4 pieces of Spam. We had water. We had hard candy. We had stoves. We had everything. We didn't have a jack handle. Now, here's something interesting. There was an article in the paper on Friday. The people that went through the rock slide after us didn't fare as well, did they, Stace?
No.
One car had the undercarriage ripped out of it. Another car who stopped, rather than driving through like we did, got crushed. Yeah. Got a rock on the roof. So there were people trapped in the rock slide. We didn't know because I told Stacy just to gun it and get out of it because the mountain was coming down. So it was interesting to see that people that were coming up that evening got actually trapped in it. And fortunately, nobody was killed. But the weather's playing havoc on people. The Lytle Creek, where I used to live, where I lost everything 6 or 7 years ago in fires, mudslides, and floods, did it again. And people died again this week there in Lytle Creek down in Southern California. Some lady today, or I think it was Saturday in Chino, drove around the barricades and drove into a swollen intersection that was basically a river and drowned. Is it drowned or drowned? Which is it?
Drowned.
I don't understand the stupidity of people. You know, it's a city thing, maybe, but why would you drive into a stream unless you're doing it for fun with a four-wheel drive and, you know, it's on TV or something and there's money to be had or chicks were watching? But I don't understand why an old lady would drive into it. Just common sense is gone. People don't have their cars prepared. They're not ready. I mean, we're babying our cars. Our cars are falling apart, but we keep them going, huh, Stace?
Yeah.
Trying to keep Stace involved. So we're still dealing with the cold here. Lou and Stacy have been doing NyQuil shots all day. They're going and being sleepy all day. I couldn't even keep Lou awake for zombie movies. We did a zombie fest today.
I woke up with NyQuil.
He woke up? Yeah, NyQuil is what he had for his morning refresher. So that's what he had this morning. So that's all we had. And I'm still doing the Neti Pot. Colloidal silver, and sitting around the house in my monkey pajamas all day. And in fact, I think Stacy, are you smurfed out right now?
Yeah.
She's wearing her smurf pajamas still. Nothing more embarrassing than somebody comes into your house at like 4 in the afternoon, and you're sitting in a recliner in your monkey pajamas. That just happened to me. But it's like, yeah, I don't feel good. I'm not going out. We did the church thing yesterday. We split some wood because we needed some firewood, but we're still fighting these colds. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice, but I think my radio voice sounds better when I have a cold. What do you think, Lou?
Mm-hmm.
He's in a Vicks NyQuil coma right now. Never give your 15-year-old alcohol unless it's a NyQuil. Are you awake? He can barely throw punches. He's going wild. We were watching zombie films today. We watched some really bad ones. What was the zombie mass destruction? It was the Iraqis or Iranians or somebody came up with a virus and released it on a small Oregon coast town on an island. That was kind of good. Of course, we watched 28 Days and 28 Days Later. Is that what it was? 28 Weeks Later. And always good stuff to learn from zombies. I got some great Christmas presents. I got a zombie survival game. It's like Trivial Pursuit, but with questions about zombie movies, basic survival, which I can apply a lot of this. I just got to, you know, not show them to the people in the church because some of them will freak out when they see the zombies on the cards. But and then I got an official government response to a zombie incident poster that somebody made that's pretty cool. And Debbie got those for us, and we put the poster up on the wall. And good stuff. But there's a lot of stuff in these zombie games, and I'm thinking that maybe that's the politically correct way to refer to the great unwashed hordes out there as the zombies so they can get away with it. Some good stuff. Really good stuff. I was reminded today of 2 more good books. 2 listeners called up. Minuteman called up. And also, I don't see him in here. Navy Davy called up. He's reading The End of the World as We Know It by James Wesley Rawls. That's Davy. And he actually got it on a digital thing, and he's reading it on his Palm Pilot or whatever it is, you know, goes on there. But it's just got a lot of good stuff in it, so he reminded me to recommend that book again. And a book that Minuteman has been recommending to me for about 6 months that I just didn't listen clearly, and I thought he was saying Molani Bay. You gotta look for Molani Bay, and I thought it was about Australian survival or something. It sounded like something done in Australia, Molani Bay, and I was like, what? And then today he's like, no, Molan Labe, you know, the Greek word for come and get them, basically. What King Leonidas said to the Persians at the Battle of Thermopylae. Two good books there. Look that up. And the Molan Labe, because if you just put that in and try and search it, you're going to get a billion things. Put down Boston, the initial Tea Party as the author, and there's some guy who uses that as a pseudonym. I found out his real name today, but forgot it. And you can find it for, I think it's on Amazon for about $17.50. And just when I was looking through it and what Minuteman was telling me about, real good book, real practical, real good. Basically, Wyoming sees the problems coming. I think it was written in 2006, 2007, something like that. Sees the problems coming and starts making preparations as a state, not individuals. Whereas Patriots was like people. This was a state, an entire state, a government that went, you know what, we don't want to be part of this. It's not about secession yet, that I, you know, but it's about how a state prepares itself and positions itself for when the federal government falls. And I read a lot of reviews on it. There was only one reviewer that didn't like it. It was some bleeding heart liberal Obamaite. Obama Minion, or whatever you want to call it, Obongo Knight, a scumminist, as Moreland puts it, a scumminist out there who hated the book. So I thought that she gave it one. Everybody else gave it between 3 to 5 stars on, I think it was not on eBay. Oh, what's the other one? I just said it
Amazon.
Before. Amazon. Okay, Moreland's saying that he heard that Senate Bill S-510 will not make it to Obongo's desk. Interesting. I thought it already had. I always confuse the food safety bill and the children's nutrition bill and all. It's a menagerie of the stuff they're throwing at us, isn't it? All these different bills. I get confused and I have to have the stuff in front of me. And quite frankly, I don't have my glasses on. And yeah, SB 510 was the Nazi bill to keep you from growing crops. So hopefully the next Congress will be able to get rid of it. But he, talk about a Hegelian dialect. He went for everything and he got a lot of good stuff.
What about to regulate the internet?
Oh, the internet wasn't a congressional thing, Stace. Thanks for bringing that up. The internet fairness doctrine or whatever they were going to, neutrality bill, that wasn't a matter of anybody voting on it. That was just the FCC saying, yeah, we're going to do it. The chairman and the people on the committee for the FCC, which I think two are neutral and three are scumminess, so they got that through. Well, the web neutrality bill, which basically means they can do whatever they want with the web now. But in all honesty, they've been doing it anyway. They can turn it off whenever they want. It started out as a military institution. So Obongo's gotten all this stuff through, and right now he's just playing nuts with the czars, isn't he? Appointing all kinds of czars. What he cannot do by legislation, he will do by caveat, by fiat, by caveat. I don't know if that's the right word. By fiat, by just executive order. So they're just going to keep doing it. And I can tell you something here. I don't normally do this. Well, maybe I do, and I just say I don't normally do this all the time when I say it, so you don't think I normally do it. I've just been having nightmares like mad for the last week. I've been sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night because I don't want to go to sleep. And the dreams are all about FEMA camps, with the exception of one about a zombie cop that I had last night because Lou made me watch part of a zombie cop movie. We turned it off halfway through. But
Dr. Death.
Dr. Death, yeah. But and it's not Kevorkian. It's some Jamaican voodoo guy. But I've been having all these dreams about FEMA camps, people going to them, me and my family and my friends trying to get away from them, trying to get my daughter. Just all this stress from all this coming in. I'm like, why am I having this? And then I realized it's because the indicators are there and it's kicking me. I'm not saying, you know, it's not one of those, oh, God's revealing to me. No, it's just the evidence is out there. And, you know, the risk of sounding like somebody from the X-Files, it's out there. The truth is out there, and it's being put right in front of our face. You don't even have to read between the lines anymore. And so I've been getting kind of stressed by it. And so Sunday I gave a little Sunday school lesson that I was going to give here on the radio, but then I figured, no, if you don't have the decency to travel 3,000 miles to go to my church, you don't get to hear it, man. But it was on having a proper attitude. It was, you know, attitude is everything. If you've got training and faith, then it doesn't do you any good if you're running around thinking everything's going to fall apart. Just because it is going to fall apart doesn't mean you have to act like it's hopeless. So I gave all that. And Sunday, and threw it out there, and of course everybody came, were you talking about me? And I said, I'm not talking about anybody here. This is about me. I lost my temper this week. I let it ruin Christmas almost. Fortunately, Stacy slapped me around a bit, and I straightened out, and I just want to share this moment with you that, you know, just because all is lost doesn't mean I have to act like it. Because sometimes you got to lose everything, and everything has to be burned down to the ground before you can build a brand new shiny house, right? Warland's saying he saw the movie 2012 and he's been having nightmares from that. I saw chunks of it, 2012, and I was just like, wow, that's some pretty amazing modeling. The whole thing with Yellowstone was pretty cool, but it didn't get to me because I'm not. I figure if it's a catastrophic belch of the earth, it doesn't matter what I'm gonna do. I mean, wasn't it freaky? Christmas Day we had the tsunami alert in the same place that like 5 or 6 years ago, was it? That, you know, over 200,000 people died from a tsunami. God's telling us something, folks.
Yep.
and people aren't listening. You know, I'm not one of these earthquakes and rumors of wars and all that. I think it's more of just a here and now kind of thing. This stuff's just getting scarier and scarier. Mexico's falling deeper and deeper into warfare with itself, which means we'll get dragged into it. I got some intel, and I'm not sure how to share it yet, from Fort Hood, Texas, on some things that are going on. I've got to confirm them on, I remember NORCOM, NORTHCOM, the Home Defense Forces, some truth about things going on there. One thing I will tell you, because it's going all around the base down there, remember our Abdullah Ablongata guy down there that shot a bunch of people before, they say, an MP, a female MP, shot him and dropped him and wounded him and he stopped shooting? He was ready to kill hundreds. He had tons of stuff on him, but it was not an MP that shot him. And I've got this confirmed from two different sources as of yesterday. It was a civilian contract worker who illegally, according to the federal government, illegally took a weapon onto the base, had it with him, kept it for his own personal safety, and while this was going on, he shot the dude. But they're giving the credit to this female MP, not knocking her because she's a female, but it's just pathetic that they have to do that. So he was stopped by an armed civilian who had his weapon ready on him. He didn't have to go get permission to shoot this guy. You guys know what I'm talking about? Fort Hood, Texas. So that's good. Hey, let's hold off of LA for a while. I'm not sure. I did like see. Yeah. Minuteman saying, let's hold off LA for a while. Everybody's saying, oh, we hope California. I get that all the time, Minuteman. People don't, they go to the website, they don't realize, and they make comments about California. I said, hey, we're the tip of the spear out here. We're the ones fighting the battle while you cowards are hiding in Ohio. You know, and of course, I'm just giving them a bit of their old medicine. You know, I said, yeah, you know, maybe we'll bail out, but not yet. Some guy today, I just said, yeah, well, we're the elite forces that can handle it. You know, you people in Kansas couldn't handle this kind of tyranny. You know, you wouldn't be able to function under this. You're not smart enough. And that's, you know, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is functioning under the tyranny, functioning under the pressure of the boot. It's funny because I had planned to do this already. I was going to talk about encryption and things, and Minuteman calls me. I don't remember what time it was. I don't remember. I can't remember what movie we were watching at the time. That's how I keep time during the day. And he said, yeah, you know, he started bouncing some of these ideas off me about, you know, codes and stuff. And that's what I'd planned to do today anyway. But I thought I'd let him talk, because I got some good ideas from him that I didn't think about, too. But in cell warfare, which I love that term, guerrilla warfare, countermeasures, all that kind of stuff. Now, first off, we have to come from the mindset, as I was saying earlier, attitude is everything, that just because we may be going against the UN, China, our own forces, doesn't mean that they're big, they're bad, and they're unstoppable. There's so many times in history when God has favored the little guy just because his cause was righteous, and that's the point of view you have to take it from. So we can learn from history on how to conduct ourselves in combat on every level. We can see how God rewards those who fight as righteous warriors, and we can see how he punishes those who drop his cause and get greedy or get vile and fight like the barbarian as a strategic level rather than tactic. There's nothing wrong with fighting like a barbarian on a tactical level. You just don't, you know, you just follow the code of conduct. But we can see from things like the French underground, the early Christian church, all kinds of stuff, that one of the key things, you'll never live to fight if you don't live to prepare and train, and you'll never be able to prepare and train if you can't communicate. And in the world we live in today, we got so many levels of communication at our disposal. The problem is that they're all compromised. So the simple process of basic English speaking, or whatever language you want to use, into a microphone, cell phone, typing it in a paper, is pretty much going to be, somebody's monitoring it. You've got to assume that the Gestapo is monitoring everything there is out there now. So if you take out a one-page ad in the Village Voice and just, you know, say something like, death to tyrants, all cells organized, we start on Friday, we're going to march on city halls in all of our prospective cities, and that ad appears across in, you know, every paper in America, they're going to be waiting for you. Common sense, right? Common sense. I mean, they didn't pull off Normandy as best that they could without some kind of encryption and code words and passwords. The problem is doing that under warlike conditions is even harder than doing it under tyrannical conditions like we live in now. Face-to-face contacts are easy. You can create things. But coming up with a network, a system that means the same thing to everybody, even though it's something different every time you dispatch it, is critical. And the only way you're going to do that is preparing up front. Now, you can do all the basic things. You can come up with your own language. You can find, you know, the Navajo code talker kind of thing. But that takes centuries to develop, and we just don't have that kind of time. What we really need to do is find common, simple, basic things that can be adapted, changed rapidly, and in case one of us gets captured, can be changed within 72 hours. And you instruct your people to hold out for at least 72 hours. Don't tell them anything. Tell them lies. Take the torture. But after 72 hours, tell them whatever you want, because we'll have changed it. We'll change the codes. We'll change the meeting places. We'll change everything. Being adaptive in warfare is the same as being adaptive in a survival situation in the wilderness. You've got to be able to use the tools at your disposal and apply them where they need to be, and don't waste them. Simple codes. And people, it's funny, I do these shows and I think people, you know, kind of get it, but then I get all these questions afterwards like, well, what kind of code should I use? Simple codes are the best for, you know, just regular things. But you've got to have layers of them. One code could mean you could have a word that stands for a number. That number stands for a phrase, and that phrase stands for something completely different. And each person in the chain doesn't know what their next part is. That way, if they get captured, they don't know. And here's an example. And I'm going to keep this simple and stupid, because that's how we learn in the Army. I want the militia four towns over to send me grenades. And in exchange, I will send them corn, food for weapons, because we have surplus food, they have surplus weapons, because of the nature of the way things work out in combat. So I start the message. Hello, Aunt Martha. We are short on potatoes. I was wondering, the next time Billy comes, you know, to visit, could you send him with some potatoes, and we will send him home with... And you don't want to call it corn, because then they'll figure it out. Or maybe you could make it so obvious they just think it's just a food exchange. You can say, I will send him with... You could throw out 4 ounces of silver. You could do whatever. But those, and they say, okay, fine. So you give that to your courier. Your courier gets it to Martha, who's, you know, the town four over. And to them, that means, we need grenades. Next time you send an emissary over, we'll give them corn, and you do it, and you send it back. Now, the reason that works is because potatoes could stand for grenades, silver could stand for corn, but you don't make it that obvious. Do you understand what I'm saying? It'd be even better if you could do it in plain language and nobody even understands it. And it's something that you would be saying every day, especially if you have a way to get traffic through that is embedded in, say, business or something that the tyrants are letting you do at the time, that the occupying troops are. And you could do that. You have to come up with terms for everything. Potatoes is obvious for grenades. You know, because we like to call them boom taters, don't we, Stace? Mm-hmm. Boom taters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's her favorite thing. She calls grenades boom taters. Not that we have any... It's funny, we call potatoes grenades. What do you want for dinner? Oh, let's have steak and grenades. And that way, if anybody's listening, they're like, what did he just say? We're just having taters. We ain't got no grenades. You've got to name your routes. You've got to have... You got to come up with alternative... You know, and you don't go overboard, because eventually you'll be speaking gibberish, and they'll know that that's some kind of code. They'll know that that's some kind of code. So the easiest basis level of to do it is just to come up with slang. Think about it. How many of you can understand what a gangbanger is saying?
Gang, we're all going to...
I can't hear you. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Two words.
Nope. Now you're playing something in the background and we can't hear it. Why don't you just turn it up? What are you doing, Luke?
It's music.
Oh, it's music. We can't hear it. It's too low. Look, you got it. Look how low you got it. Okay, we'll be back after the break. Lou's not giving me any warnings. He's just playing music. I thought it was something in my head. We'll be back after this.
Somewhere, like a rodent on a treadmill, we keep pushing for it uphill, but we never seem to get too far. Well, if you think you're being taken, then you're ready to awaken to the truth of what we really are. We're all indentured servitudinal slaves. Overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some socialistic crumb. Well, the naked truth and fact is, we're all saps who pay our taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. Could the state of our condition be the product of omission, what we didn't learn in public schools? And did our fathers all through history all fight and die for liberty so we could play the tyrant's fools? And can you call it education when it's all indoctrination to obey the hidden powers that be? Did we fight the revolution? Did we win the world wars just to slumber into slavery? We're all indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, who have lost our soul posterity through ignorance and apathy, and now we're being taxed out of our graves. And as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb, contented with some humanistic crumb. Will the naked truth and fact is we're all saps who pay those taxes, and that is why the banksters keep us dumb. While Franklin and Eleanor were telling us they hated war, they made a deal behind our backs. They said the bankers could enslave us for a portion of our wages, and today we call it income tax. But what they failed them to tell us was the way they planned to sell us into statutory slavery. Now it's called constructive fraud. Some even claim the wrath of God. I call it social insecurity. Let's stop being indentured servitudal slaves, overburdened and bewildered feudal knaves, and reclaim our lost posterity. Rise up and proclaim liberty. It's high time we rock the boat and make some waves, 'cause as long as we stay passive, we'll succumb. They'll starve us on their communistic crumb. And the naked truth and fact is we don't have to pay those taxes. Yes, it's time we show those banksters, those international gangsters. So let's turn the tables and spoil all their fun.
That's all.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I admire your intelligence.
Thank you, Duke. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back, and while we're on break, I just before we came back, Warlin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Let me adjust you. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about, Warlin?
Oh, I was here to talk about the recovery this morning. Mark
good.
Was, yeah, he was letting out some important information about two of the members. He got the prisoner address for. It's a really long address. Unfortunately, I didn't write it down. Really long.
That's okay. We'll try to get it and put it in the form like someone suggested. We'll have Lou put it in the form, see if we can get it from Liberty Tree Radio.
Yeah, that would be the place. First 2 hours of the Mark's morning show, he was giving out a bunch of times. But
okay.
I'm glad to see that, you know, at least two of the members have got an address. He said he was going to give out more of them.
Good. Yeah, I said the other day, it's like we need to keep updates on them and find out what they're doing. We can't forget about them.
That's right. You know, they've been locked up for, a year?
Well, it was April 24th, something like that, and
yeah.
So it's you know a good distance over six, seven, eight, 9 months. What is it? I can't think clearly. I'm getting a contact high from Lewis's NyQuil.
The NyQuil buzz.
Yes, but yeah, it's funny that just disappeared because of the embarrassment. Once people started realizing it was a setup, the media really shut down because they didn't want to show just how scummy the FBI was in that story.
Oh, absolutely. I remember that when it happened there, I was online, and I guess Mark Corgi was traveling around, and he didn't get the message in time, but I heard... Heard the interview, and it was
it's a prime example of a situation that requires a coded chain of communication.
Exactly.
You bring that up. I mean, it's like, you know, okay, I'm going to use this example, but it doesn't mean I think it's going to happen. But let's say they do come for me, but we don't want them to know we're telling anybody, and Lewis just gets on the internet and just says, Dutch went fishing in Alaska with Grandpa. And everybody goes, oh, isn't that sweet? Isn't that cool? Good. But that means, you know, hey, he got scooped up. Don't talk to him. Don't talk about him. You know, whatever. But that way we know. You've got to come up with stuff like that is easily communicated. And if the feds are listening, they'll go, oh, well, they're just lying because they're embarrassed he got arrested. They're lying and saying he's in Alaska. They don't realize that we're sending out a full-page alert that says, you know, grab everything and get out of your house because they're going to come for you next.
Right.
Not that would happen, but you understand it's not like the Dutch Jones listening audience is in any danger, but you get my point.
I understand. You're absolutely right. A coding system does need to be formed, and it'll be interesting to see pull that off.
Well, I'm sure there are groups out there that have got hardcore embedded ones that are already there. Families have them. You know, think about it. Husband and wives have them. How many husbands and wives do not have a code when they're over somebody's house and it's time to go that they look at each other and say something like, oh, I just remembered Billy's got a report due in the morning. You know, okay, that means we got to get out of here. You know, that kind of stuff. Everybody does it. Everybody uses them. We just have to apply them to a bigger picture.
Right. All right, that's just about all I had to say.
Okay, good. Thank you for letting us know about that, and we will continue to see if we can find that information out for you.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
That, of course, was Warland, another person trapped behind enemy lines here in California. Another person out there standing alone, as it were. I get those emails. I got one today. It may have even been E. Swanson. Said, hey, I'm up in Michigan. I'm looking for a church. We got so many people that are isolated. They've hunted. They've looked. They couldn't find anything. So that makes it even more critical that we have some terminology that we can exchange. It's like one of the things Stacy and I have talked about and I've shared with them is, you know, you got a bunch of bumper stickers on your car, you know, hang them, you know, run them out of office, tar and feather the politicians. That's sending a message to Highway Patrol that they pull you over, they might find a gun or a Bible in your car, and they get to shoot you. So you've got to be stealthy with this stuff. I mean, we've got a political sticker from the last election on there, Nightingale, but most people don't even know who she is, and she's not part of the Tea Party movement or anything really, so it was no big deal. But if you put those kind of stickers on your car, you're going to advertise who you are. So, but wouldn't it be cool if we came up with some bumper stickers or something of our own that said something innocuous, like, you know, I'm a Pepsi lover. And we know that every time we see that I'm a Pepsi lover and it doesn't have the Pepsi logo on it, people go, well, that's a stupid bumper sticker. We know it's another like-minded person.
I am the cheese.
Lou's thing is, I am the cheese. He wants bumper stickers that say, I am the cheese, to identify, you know, the Lewish followers, other people of the Lewish faith. He's just smiling. But I think it would be good if we had that. Could you imagine? And I don't want to get into this so deep. It's like, oh, you sound like a Mason coming up with secret hand signals and stuff. No. Because our cause is not nefarious. Our cause is not secretive. But our cause is to glorify Jesus Christ and, you know, and to keep ourselves alive long enough that we can fight evil. But could you imagine if we had an antenna ball? You know, you get those little jack-in-the-box antenna balls, but the ones we have got something different about them. You know, everybody puts a scarf on it. And you know, it can be something as subtle as that. In written communications, it could be misspelled words. I've always used one just for practicing and stuff ever since I was a kid. Like sending letters to people who didn't want their kids to be friends with me. But you know, you wanted to meet them somewhere, something like that. We could, you know, it's the extra letters. You take all the extra letters out of a letter, you know, so like if I, let's say for instance, I'm spelling the word such and I put two C's in it, S-U-C-C-H. And then the next word I misspell, you know, a sentence later is I put two A's in it. You know, I'm spelling avenue and I got two A's in it. Looks like I just misspelled it. You use words so it's not obvious. You put all those letters together, they spell the word, you know, carp. You know, C-A-R-P. Well, what's CARP? Well, CARP is the location of a pre-designated rally point. See how you use different layers now? You get into that. It's not just, you wouldn't just put the address down there. Omission of letters is another good one because people don't notice that. Because your mind, you have to have a real critical mind to be able to read this. They're talking about you, Lee. A real critical mind follow up on the code, because you'll read through something once, you won't notice that letters are missing, because your mind fills in the gaps. Gaps are another thing, especially in the spoken word. Let's say, for instance, we just had a Bible study every Tuesday night on this show, and all I did is read scripture to you. And I said, everybody, get out your King James, turn to the book of Amos, Amos 1:1. And I just start reading from Amos, from the Old Testament. But I start pausing at different times when I'm reading something. Those pauses could mean everything. Those pauses could mean everything. The way I read the word in the book of Amos. Now they're going to be ready for us to go looking for let's see if you can get those out of the forum and post them in the room for me. You know, for us to use the King James Bible, we as Christian militia members are going to look for that one. So doing the page 27, paragraph 2, third line, sixth letter. That's not going to work because they're going to be able to do that. But if you just read from it and the code is something else, the book itself is the distraction. The book itself is the distraction. That's how a good code works. So you have written, verbal, images. You know, some people would say semaphore, flags. Thank you. Lou's posting in the chat room. Those of you listening that aren't in the chat room are missing the addresses for Joshua Klo and who's the other one? Michael Meeks. He's got the addresses in here. I can give them out. Hang on here. If you guys want to get your crayons ready, I'm going to give out the addresses for two Hutari people. So you can send them some cards. Tell them we haven't forgotten about them. Tell them that Mark Kornke put the addresses out, and we're just relaying it. And practice your codes. Annoy the prison folk, right? Really weird. I'm just kidding. They'll probably throw it away. But get ready here. It's the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Federal Bureau of Prisons. And the person's name is C-L-O-U-G-H, comma, Joshua. You gotta do the name backwards. Federal Bureau of Prisons, C-L-O-U-G-H, and it jumped there, comma, Joshua, number. And here comes the numbers. Here's his number. He's got an, they've taken away his name and given him a number. 44284-039 P as in Papa, dot O as in Oscar, dot BOX, so that's P.O. Box, 47701, Des Moines, Iowa. And the zip code for Des Moines, Iowa is 50947. Okay, I'm going to give this to you again. I'm going to do the same one again, and then we're going to move down to the next one. And the next one's going to be the same except everything will be the same except the name. So let me give you this again. So it's Federal Bureau of Prisons. And that's C-L-O-U-G-H, comma, Joshua, J-O-S-H-U-A, number 44284-039, P.O. Box 474701, Des Moines, Iowa. That's D-E-S-M-O-I-N-E-S, Iowa. And that's zip code 50947. Okay, so now you've got all that. The second one, his name is Meeks, M-E-E-K-S, comma, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Michael. Now his number is 44288-039. So get ready here for Meeks. It's M-E-E-K-S, Michael, common spelling. His number is 44288-039. And remember, this is to the Federal Bureau of Prisons, Post Office Box 474701, Des Moines, Iowa. And Iowa's abbreviated IA. I like to say OWL. That's Lou's favorite state, isn't it? He's so stoned on NyQuil right now. This is sad. We got to. How much did you take? You don't know, do you?
No.
Yeah, you're ruining our lives. You just got to stop with the NyQuil. And the zip code is 50947-0001. And we got to get that. Is it in the forum? I think E. Swanson said he pasted it in the forum. Did he? Okay, it's in the forum. Go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. Go to the forum and look for the Hutari Prisoners Behind the Wire information, and we're going to try and get some more up. Mark Cornkey's going to get some more up on Liberty Tree Radio, and we'll try and share that with you. We have to make sure these folks realize they are not forgotten. What's going on here? I'm getting all kinds of stuff now. Okay. Oh, I don't think I told the folks on Facebook we were going. And they're like going, hey, where are you? Are you doing a live show tonight? No, I'm doing a dead show. In honor of our zombie viewing today, we're doing a dead show. What's this one? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me post this in here. Let me get this stuff up on Facebook real quick. Nobody go anywhere. Everybody just talk amongst yourselves. There's, fortunately, we didn't put out any snacks. There we go. Yeah, we can't forget them. And just think how useful it would be if you had some kind of coded system and some of your guys get taken behind the wire and you can just send them stuff that the screws don't need to know about. Period. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be good to be able to do that? I'm going to put... Okay, there we go. It would be excellent. Take it from somebody who's been places that they've been dying to get a letter from someone. Prison, military overseas. Just getting a letter can change someone's entire mindset. They can save their lives, trust me. So it's good. Drop them some cards, you know, send them a belated Christmas. Just let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know that people are talking about them. Let them know that you heard about them on Liberty Tree Radio and whatnot. Just let them know that they haven't been forgotten. Same reason we're going to do the thing this next coming days with Shauna Ford. You guys may not know her. You may know her and not like her tactics. And some guy down in San Diego just went completely ape in the Liberty Tree group on Yahoo about her. Yeesh. I don't know what these Swilk, his name was Swilk down in San Diego, San Diego Minutemen, just the politics in between these different groups. But anyway, I get off on a tangent. But yes, thank you for putting that in there, E. Swanson. But codes, and they've got to be pliable. They've got to be able to change. Like I said, if one of your guys gets captured, just assume he's going to talk. And within 3 days, come up with a new code. So if you have a system that rotates is predictable, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out. The best codes are ones you don't have to write down. They're good for memorization that even an idiot like me can remember. And they're usually based in some organic basis. You know, they're based in an organic basis. That was good. They have some organic base to them, so it's easy to figure out. Like, you could take an archaic Disney cartoon, take the characters from it, and make that the name of all. Each character is transfers for the name of a target, of a person, of a place, of a thing. And it'll take them, you know, forever to figure it out. Ones based on math and rhythm and stuff like that, they figure them out pretty quick. They got computer programs that just crunch them. But if you've got one that's just something silly, they're going to be like, Yeah, Warland's saying simple crossword puzzles will work for encoding. Yeah, your code could change every day that the crossword changes in your local newspaper, couldn't you? And they'd be like, what? Yesterday, this represented that, but today we don't know what it is. And it'll take them a while to figure out which crossword puzzle you're using, if at all. Usually when they break these things, it's because of really hard work, but sometimes it's dumb luck. It's dumb luck. You know, don't pick Catcher in the Rye and use that as your basis, because every maniac in America, every serial killer's got Catcher in the Rye on his shelf. That was one of the first things they look for, I've been told, by people who do this kind of thing. You know, these great works of art, pick something that's limited edition that very few people read and they won't even think about it. Something that you can get a couple hundred copies of, maybe. You know, everybody go get their own. You know, don't use Patriots. Don't go, okay, everybody turn to page 27 of Patriots, third paragraph down. That's going to be too obvious. The FBI has got that on their shelves along with, you know, Sarah Palin's book, remember, from a couple shows ago. You got to find things that aren't going to be so obvious. A shop manual for like a 57 Edsel. I don't even know if they made a 57 Edsel, but you get my point. Find something to base it on that is just so obscure they won't even understand it, or so in their face that they'll be just like, what? Something that looks like when you're talking in plain English, they're like, this doesn't, you know, what? You want them to read it as, we attack at dawn, bring everything you've got. And what that really means is something completely different. So they get ready for the attack at dawn, and they look stupid. I like Olima says, kitchen soup for the soul. Or, yeah, you know, something like that. Oprah's book. What's Oprah's latest book? I mean, if we use something like that, it would take them eons to figure it out. And by then, we'd be on to the next code. You know, the old code where every letter has a numerical reference, that's fine, but I'd rather, you know, that's a little easier. Yeah, Warren's saying, the meatloaf is in the oven. The meatloaf is in the oven. You know, and that sounds ominous, like, oh, they're getting ready. No, it actually means the meatloaf's in the oven. You've got to have a mixture of real word messages in the gibberish that mean absolutely nothing. One of the examples is, when I was in Central America, one of the things we'd do is we'd listen to the Sandinista rebels on the radios at night when we'd be out on an LPOP, and they would have what are called number stations. And they would just give out series of numbers in a matrix. And in that matrix, you have no idea knowing what it is. I'm sure Brainiacs, you know, the CIA figured it out. But if we could, you know, you'd have like 5, 7, 10, 12, 23, all two-digit numbers, you know, 0, 5, and then another series, and then another series, then another series. And they may do 20 series. You don't know which string in there, depending on the day, the phase of the moon, the accent the person was using, the local dialect that he was using. Real good way. The numbers mean usually a symbol or something else. If each number meant, oh, letter 01 means A, we can figure that out. A good code would be slightly complicated, but not so complicated that the intended user can't understand it. But so, like, if you have a Latin and Greek phrase book, that'd be good. You know, send them out. Send out your stuff in Latin, but they have to have a phrase book to look it up. But if it's prearranged, it makes sense. Now, I think I've said enough on spoken. Now, I like symbols. Everyday symbols, especially if you live in a city situation, even in a rural. A simple X on a telephone pole that everybody sees. What's wrong?
Nothing.
Oh, a simple X on a telephone pole. People go, oh, yeah, they drive by. Yeah, that X has been there for weeks. Well, one day you go by and one of the legs is missing off the X. People aren't going to notice that. You know, it just wore off, withered away. But yet that means something to the people in that area, in that cell. Okay, if the lower right leg is missing from the X, Okay, we don't go to the next meeting. We just don't go to the next meeting. It's been compromised, and we break up, and we take our stuff, and we go. And you can have multiple layers like that. You may have a lamp in a window. If it's turned on between the hours of 8 and 11 at midnight, at night, 8 and 11 at night, that means everything's fine. But the minute that's not on, it means, you know, take caution. But you got to worry. What if the power goes out? What if the person just forgot? You have to really figure human error into these types of things. Human error. And it could be you go, your job as an operator is to go to the same restaurant every day and order the same exact item. That's what you're told to do. You don't know if the waitress, the cook, the owner, another person sitting in there is the one watching to see the day that you come in and you say, I think
corned
today
beef
I'll...
sandwich.
Huh?
Corned beef sandwich.
I'll have a corned beef sandwich today instead of what I normally order. I think I'll try something different. You order your corned beef sandwich, you get up and you leave. You don't know if it's the waitress. You don't know who it is. You don't know if it's the guy who delivered the corned beef. But somebody notices, hey, this guy ordered a corned beef sandwich. So then he goes to somebody, and he doesn't know what it means, but he says, hey, remember that thing you told me to do? Yeah. He ate corned beef today. Oh, okay, thanks. Good seeing you. You saw this in the Johnny Tremaine. What was that movie? Was it called Johnny Tremaine? I always remember Johnny Freedom, Johnny Tremaine. When he goes, the compliments from Mr. So-and-so. He says, you owe him 6 pence for the paper. Oh, okay. So that meant they met at 6 p.m. That's a bit obvious. And everybody knew what the code meant. But it's better if the people involved don't know what the code is. You may say, well, I don't want to just be a cog in the wheel. Well, that's better for you, because if you don't know, you really don't know. And you've got to come out. You've got to find out what these routines are. The enemy loves routines because they're like, oh, wow, this guy's, you know, he's fine. He's not bothering anybody. This old lady goes and to the market every day. We don't have to pay attention. We'll just move on. And they'll take the attention off those boring, bland people. You know, but in truth, they're really helping the cause. And I can't even, the imagination is the limit here. Some guy mows his lawn every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and he always goes left to right long ways. Well, one day he goes right to left short ways or at an angle. He doesn't know why. He was just given a message the night before, mow your lawn tomorrow at an angle. Somebody drives by at that time every day, looks over, boom, okay. And the chain of events is set. The fuse is lit. Or it could be common everyday stuff. In fact, some of these things, you will set up complete chains of communication that do nothing but send gibberish just to distract and make them watch them. And the gibberish means nothing. In fact, you can use it for misinformation. You can talk about inflatable tank battalions. I think that would be a great job. You know, just sitting on a radio all night, just doing what I'm doing. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's what I am doing. And then one day I come on and I start talking about sports. Like, I love it. And the whole time it's just been gibberish of no value of anything. And then all of a sudden I just go, you know what? I really hope the Raiders win the, what is it, Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup. I don't know what they win.
Against the Dodgers.
It's the Dodgers, against the Dodgers this year. I think the Raiders can beat the Dodgers this year in the Stanley Cup. And I say something like that, and to you guys, you're like, what? But right now, some guy in Rhode Island goes, I understand Dutch. And who knows what's going to happen? Because somebody told me to say it. I may not even be the instigator of the order. Worland calls it noise in the system. Yeah, I like that. Well, we're going to come back after the break. We're going to continue to talk about more of this stuff on Liberty Tree Radio. And as always, thanks for listening. We need your support. If you look at our chip-in, it's at zero. Zero. We used the last of our money to pay all the bills. We gave our kids a halfway decent Christmas. Little tiny Lou got his surgery that he needed. The kidney's not in yet, but we did the surgery anyway. We'll be back after the break. This is the Dutch Jones radio program.
We're born.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
The government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Are we here yet? Is this thing on?
You just learned something, boy.
Not yet. I haven't learned anything yet, Mr. Duke. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live right now. It is the 27th. The 27th of what month is it? Would be December.
Yeah.
2010. This is Liberty Tree Radio. We thank Ed and those folks for bringing us on board over there. And we've already been talking for an hour on Stronghold Radio, which is the little interesting thing that I'm trying to do on you broadcast at DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. And we've had a good first hour. We're talking to East Swanson and who else in the chat room? It was Warland came in and told us that earlier on the intelligence report, they were talking about two folks from the Hutari and gave out their addresses. Lou put those in the forum over at
Swanson
gave his phone number. Warland was telling us about it before the show at the Dutch Jones forum. That really should be the Lou Jones forum because Lou does it. So we got those two addresses in there. And we're talking about coding and encrypting. Things that we can be doing now before the hammer falls, for the other shoe lands, to prepare ourselves. Now, I know the bigger militias out there, the guys that have been doing this for years, they've probably already got encryption and codes and all that set up. But I'm talking about the little guy, the two or three people, the family, the church level, people that haven't thought about this. Sure, you got your weapon. You've even been to front sight. You've taken some training. You've rounded up some old crotchety old military veterans, and they've taught you some stuff. You got your food stored. Well, what good is it if you're isolated and you can't communicate? There needs to be a system, even if it's a microsystem, within your own community on how to communicate when the bad things are happening, to designate specific needs, general warnings, problems across the system. We've been talking about different levels of communication, written, verbal, symbology, the symbology of it, cuneiform, whatever you want to use. Color coding, Orland's throwing in there in the chat room right now, that kind of stuff. Whether or not you wear a blue tie every day to work and then on a Thursday you whip out the red tie, that means something to you're transmitting it, you're broadcasting it, and you don't even know. It's funny, Lou. You don't even know who. That Lou just put a yellow yes in the chat room to be funny. Your sense of humor is understated but always appreciated. You don't even have to know is what I was getting at. The analogy I was using is like you're told as part of your cause, this is it, we'll give you the money, Every morning you go to the same diner and you order the same thing until we tell you to either not go, order something different or whatever. You do the same thing. We'll give you money. You don't need to know what it means. So every morning you go and you have scrambled eggs, bacon, a bagel, and you know, Hasidic coffee or something. And then one day all of a sudden you come in and you have something completely different. And you don't know what it means. You don't know who it's intended for. Those are some of the best kind of codes to have. But within your own group is what I'm going to talk about now. You need to have codes within your own group. Let's start with the family. Real basic stuff. Let's say every day, I'm one of the lucky ones and I have a job and I'm in an office 40 miles away and I know Stacy's at home with the boy and they're doing the things that need to be around here. And every day between about 2 and 2:15, I call her between 2 and 2:15 every day. That does a couple of things. It shows my family that I love them and let my wife know I'm thinking about her. Find out what's going on. See if there's anything I need to get to pick up before I come the 40 miles from where I'm working, you know, up to our little mountain community. And I always say the same thing. I always say the same thing, you know, when I call up. How's my little snookums today? And she says, everything's just fine. And then she breaks into, you know, what's going on and tells me a couple of things. And she tells me that I need to pick up, you know, a pound of hamburger and the latest copy of Boy's Life or whatever. And we hang up. And we do that every day. People listening in are going to go, aw, aren't they in love? Well, we have certain key words. Certain key words that we've sat down as a family and we've decided. Let's say I call up and I go, how's it going, Snookums? And she goes, don't call me that. You know I don't like that. That may mean, hey, somebody's listening. I go, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot you told me that. And then we have a whole series of conversation that we've hopefully can do under stress, you know, as the pucker factor kicks in. You know, well, is there anything you want me to get from the store? Oh, no, everything's okay. You know, and you know, something which means nothing's, you know, but you have to have predestined. I'm not going to give you our code. Let's put it that way. You guys have to come up with this on your own. It has to be smooth and deliberate and easy. You know, and I could say, well, what time are we having dinner at your mother's tonight when she's already established something's wrong? And she goes, well, we're not supposed to be over there till 6 o'clock. Well, that tells me there are six individuals in the room or six bad guys. And then you're going to have a duress code that may mean forget about, and it's going to sound cold. She's going to say something like, you know, something simple like, don't forget to go to the cleaners. I haven't used the cleaners in 20 years. To me, that tells me, don't come home, it's a trap. Now we got to change all our codes, huh, Stace? Mm-hmm. But I'm sacrificing for you guys. It's time to change the codes anyway. It's been a while. But they've got to be delivered in a smooth and way, because she may have a gun to her head. You know, but you can get more elaborate. It can let me know, you know, what's going on. Is Lou there? You know, without her me going, well, is Lou around? No, he got away. But we don't want her to say that. Especially if it's, you know, if it could be something as simple as, don't forget the Swensons called and they're not going to be able to make it tonight. And to me, Swensons is a code word for FBI. So I know the FBI is in our studio digging through our stuff. Although it might be fun to show up, it'd be better if I just climb the hill behind and take up my ready position and watch them through a scope. Everything has to have backups, remember. But code in your family is everything. And like I said before the break, how many of us that have been married for any length of time don't have a code when it's time to get the visiting people out of the living room? You've got the Andersons have been there. Everybody else has left, and they're still hanging out, and you want to go to bed. Now, in the words of my immortal grandmother, she would just look at Grandpa and go, honey, let's go to bed so these idiots can go home. Well, we could do that, and in with some of our friends, that would work, and it would laugh, and it wouldn't hurt their feelings. But let's say it's the boss. Well, you've got to come up with some other code, and you come up with codes. It could be like, you know, oh, don't forget, dear, Billy's got that, you know, appointment in the morning. And you can say, well, that's lying and dishonest. Well, there's other ways around it. You know, and if you're over somebody else's house, time to go. And it's something that you've got to work out and practice, not in front of people and not, you know, and then just apply it. Apply it. And talk about putting sound in the system, noise in the system. Get good enough at it that you can just drop the words without even knowing it. Not even knowing it. And they've got to be words. Like, you don't want to use the word penguin to mean something. Because who talks about penguins? You know, and it's just, and if it's something that's too mundane, people won't catch it. So you got to find a balance in your verbal hidden words. Now, symbology. I love that word symbology, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Symbolism, you know, images, signs. I would love it if, say, for instance, our church, you know, because we have a majority of the people come from a long distance to come to church on Sundays. As they're driving to the church, they see something different. Say, for instance, for some reason we're not flying the Christian flag, we're flying the American flag. They know to keep on driving. So we just don't put up the flag that day. Yeah, I saw that movie Happy Feet, Ed. Yeah, see? Ed figured out a way to work Penguin into it. Yeah, Happy Feet. Yeah, you can. That's what I was going back to. I was saying like Disney films or cartoons. But everybody knows that if you see an American flag, Old Glory, flying in front of our church, something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to get to the point where you always look, you check it. Like, say, for instance, a quarter mile down the road, there's a pole. Or in the corner of our property, let's say there's a pole down there that has a reflector on it. And every day I go by, I see that reflector, and then one day I'm coming home and I see the reflector's gone. Now the chances are some kid could have taken it. Could have fallen off or something. But if you maintain these codes, and I know, hey, that reflector's not there, I'm keeping going. Shoes. I used to love it in cities. You know the old I don't know if it's a myth or not, but saying that if you see shoes hung up over a wire, it's a place to buy drugs. Bad guys are great at this. You see a pair of shoes hanging off a phone line or an electric wire, you know, that's the bat signal right there for, hey, you can buy drugs. So what, you know, in colleges, hey, man, if there's a hanger on the door, I got a girl, don't come in. I was a non-traditional student. I was already married by the time I was in college, so. But I knew guys that did that kind of stuff. We all know from history. One if by land, two if by sea. Two if by land, one if by sea. I always confuse that one.
Three if by air.
Three if by air. They didn't have air back then, but okay, Lou. Yeah, that would work. Three if by air.
That was a BC comic.
Yeah, it was a BC comic. Yeah. We could, like, if it's the middle of the day, and, you know, we've got our fireplace going and it's cold out, and next to the fireplace I keep temper paint, or I keep a certain kind of paper that if you burn it changes the color of the smoke coming out of the chimney, and Stacy's being held hostage by an ambush, and she kicks that thing into the fire about half an hour before I come home and I see, you know, green smoke coming out of the chimney, I know something's wrong. You don't have to get too bizarre about this to make it work. We've got a lot of things at our disposal here. We have a radio station. We've got internet. We've got everybody. We got walkie-talkies. We've got cell phones. But what happens when all that stuff's gone? You know, I don't mean to be trite here, but think about the Indians with their smoke signals. Look how much they could get done with just a smoke signal. Think about how far you can see, those of you that are into survival, a signal mirror in the desert. We could be up on a mountain up here that looks down at, we have mountains right around us that look up in the valley. I could make Lou climb up there, and on the hour, every hour, he does three short, three long flashes aimed at a city 70 miles away, and they can see it. It only works during certain times of the day, I know, but it would work, wouldn't it? Signal mirrors will go for miles. See, people have been saved in the desert from airplanes at 30,000 feet. Some pilot going, hey, I see somebody down there doing the International Morse code. Did it with a mirror off their Volkswagen. Simple things like that. One thing I really liked, a suggestion I'm going to give you guys, you know, there was this big craze to put these like windsock flags out in front of your house that show like fat ladies gardening and kittens, and they have the seasonal ones, big clovers and stuff. Those are everywhere. I don't know if they're where you're at, but they're all over Southern California. These windsock looking things look like monsters. I've seen like octopuses, and it can be the simple color code in those things that means something, and your wife just puts out a different one that day. Christmas lights to a certain rhythm. Think about that. That would only work seasonally, but wouldn't that be cool? You got red Christmas lights in your window and you plug them in the middle of June. People might take notice, but, you know, why not? We've all used these kind of codes. We've used them our whole lives. They mean all different. We use it for the keyboards, symbols, all you people that text each other. You got to find these teenagers that are like super texters and make them part of your, you know, crypto crew and have them come up with stuff. What's that language? Leet? L-E-E-T?
Lingo.
Lito or something? Yeah.
Lingo.
Lingo. come up with a code that uses nothing but windings or whatever you call it on the computer. Of course, obviously, somebody's trying to encode this. But, you know, the little smiley faces. Put up the bat signal with a squinty eye and a smiley face. Worland's got in there. Now, everybody just saw him say, put up the bat signal, but maybe it was the squinty eye that was the deal. Yeah, we have our Christmas lights up year-round. Even in places we don't live anymore, our Christmas lights are still up, huh, Stace? Down in your room.
Oh, yeah.
But there's all kinds of stuff. Things in the back window of your car. You know, your little bobblehead of the Pope? You know, it would work great. Okay, Minuteman says, there were certain signals that were used by our founding fathers that are still classified because they still work. Also, look at the simple things that were done by the French Underground. The French Underground, the Maquis, a great, great example. If you see The Longest Day, they're all huddled around radios. I love that scene. John has a long mustache. They do it again in Red Dawn. The chair is against the wall. No. My ears are made of chocolate. You know, instead of like some movies, the eagle has landed. You know, that's a little obvious. But and every day they did this gibberish up until the day of June 6th, 1944, when the Allies actually landed at Normandy. Yeah, there, Lou's doing it there. Lou's, that's just how Lou spells, I think. There's so many ways you can do it from the old stuff. One of the things I really liked is if you study, I can't remember his name, guys that were prisoners of war in Vietnam, some of the stuff they came up with for conveying messages from cell to cell, person to person, when they had, you know, when they're out on work details. Prisoners. I wish we had a couple of our prison guards that are, and I know they hate calling it correctional officers, were in, because the stuff they tell me that they catch guys doing to transfer information and messages, I'm not talking about just secreting them away in horrible places, but the messages themselves, the encryption themselves. There's some encryption that's so good. I told you about, maybe I didn't. They found a bottle somewhere in the United States in the silt of a river, and they took it out and had a message in it, probably from the 1860s when the siege, I think it was of Charlotte. I can't remember. It was in the paper. And they got it out, and they weren't able to break that until now. I mean, this code lasted forever. They never heard it. They never saw it. And the simple code was like, no help coming. It was real depressing for the Confederates. But you understand, codes can last forever, and the simpler they are, sometimes the better they are. Songs, music. We have a radio station. If I play a certain song at a certain time, it could mean something to the listeners. Now, our radio station is a couple hundred watts. It goes 15, 20 miles. Think about that in a post-collapse society where everybody's trying to, you know, they keep the radio on. They get their little solar-powered radio, crank-up radio, and when they hear a certain song, they know it means rally around the post. Yeah, Minuteman's bringing up stuff. Yeah, the shades in a window, the patterns of a shades in the window of an office building could mean something completely innocuous. It could be random, or it could mean something important. There have been great studies done, you know, especially like the Japanese insurgents prior to World War II, prior to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the way they were getting their messages out and stuff, and planes flying over could see things. It's amazing to me that the most subtle are the most interesting. The most subtle or the most interesting. Look at the Cold War. The way that even recently Russian spies were getting information in and out of this country. Classified ads. Okay, there's one way. Imagine using FreeCycle, Craigslist, eBay, or something, and your whole job is just to advertise innocuous items for sale. Or to go onto Craigslist and just put personal ads up. And then one day they call you and say, this time the personal ad will say, big beautiful woman seeks teddy bear man for trips to the zoo. And all you do is you put it on. And other people that you don't even know, their job is to look for that ad. While the internet's up, practice with it. Use it to your advantage. Next time you're going to have a drill, don't just call everybody and say, hey guys, we're going to meet at Rally Point 1, which of course is the Texaco over by the drive-in. We're going to have sandwiches at Sonic before we go out to the desert. Those are great training opportunities that are lost. This is how our militia, not the one I'm in now, but the one because we were spread out a lot down there. It would be something along the lines of, 1 in the morning, you'd get a text message that would just be something lame. And it meant, this is where we're, because we had 4 or 5 different training areas. And I'm not going to mention where they are because they're still operating, but we would do that. If your phone rings once at midnight, just bling, once at midnight, you don't have to pick it up. Phone by the bed wakes you up. What? What was that? Nobody there? That means to go check a certain website, which we had set up that had nothing to do with militia. For sake of argument, let's say it was, we'll use the baking scenario, it was a baking website. And the recipe of that day was chicken pot pie. We knew what chicken pot pie meant, where to meet the next weekend, what to do. Everybody gets one phone call in jail, don't they? Eventually, after they get done, you know, doing what they're doing. What if your one phone call was just to some third party that had nothing to do with your guys, but they were told that if they ever get a phone call that says, tell Charlie I need him to call my mom, I'm in a little bit of trouble. Person doesn't know it's a militia-related thing, but he says, hey, remember that time you told me if I ever get a call? Ours was Boris. We like using weird names. Yeah, can you tell John Boris called? Guy hung up. He immediately got out a phone number, called, and says, yeah, I just got a call from some guy calling himself DJ. He says he was looking for Boris. You told me if that ever happened to call you. I actually used that one once. I got arrested for something I didn't do, and I needed bail money, but I didn't want to call my partners in the militia to let them have on their phone in the jail. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, we changed the contact. Third-party contact. We changed it. I knew a guy. He said, if I'm ever arrested and need help, I'll order a pizza to your house from this specific restaurant that you hate. That's a bit antiquated, but it would have worked. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy would make a great code book. Yeah, because of the terminology. That's what Warland's saying. The whole, I think there's like a trilogy, too. Yeah. Trilogies are good. Because you can have something that tells you, designates which book and all that kind of stuff. I like using, what commentaries? We could use like a religious commentary. But anything religious they're going to know for a Christian militia. They're not going to be surprised by that. Yeah, that would be a good one. I love the third party stuff. A third party that has no idea. Hey, Grandma. Yeah, if your answering machine ever has this message on it, could you just let me know? And then just remind her from time to time and practice and work the system. I miss pagers. Pagers were a good one because you didn't have to get, you know, leave messages or voice. You just did it. Texting is okay, you know, but in this day and age, I don't know. It's like people, I don't know. They're probably watching everything, so maybe it wouldn't matter even if we did have pagers now. But I love the ones that just in four books in the trilogy. Laugh out loud, Warland said. It's a quadrilogy. Four books in the trilogy? Yeah. I don't know if there's two or four books in that trilogy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. Zombie movies, I think, would be a good way for codes. You know, zombie books. I love all these zombie books that are coming. I still think it's a, like I said in the first hour, I think it's a politically correct way of talking about killing the mass of the unwashed hordes as they come after us. Talked about lights, talked about symbols, talked about simple tones. Think about this. What if you got an old lady in your militia who likes to grow stuff in her garden? And the pattern in which she grows certain flowers means something. Or you go out and she's tearing out the daisies. What's that mean? And it sounds labor-intensive, but it's not. It just everybody watches one or two things. Not everybody has to know the entire code or the chain. In fact, it's better that they don't. It's better that they don't. Especially if you have, because like if you have one guerrilla fighter, you're gonna need anywhere from, and I've heard I say between 20 and 40 supporters per guerrilla fighter. Some people say as high as 100. It's 1 in 10. The Bible says, I think 1 in 10 too, for people, you know, that were building the wall and then there were 10 people behind supporting them. So it's 1 in 10. But you know, it's you get these businesses involved. They don't even need to know what's going on. Just the way they put their open and close sign in. Do they put it in the left side of the window or the right side of the window? Am I getting through to you guys? Am I boring you? Am I being too redundant? I need to get some feedback on this. Because I get a lot of questions on this. They go, hey, like 6 months ago, I was listening to one of your shows, and you talked about codes, but you talked about them, but you didn't get into it. You didn't tell me how I could put them together. Well, if I tell you guys how to do a code and everybody does it the same exact way, don't you think that kind of defeats the purpose? I would think it defeats the purpose. So I'm just trying to get, you know, give you a little fertilizer, but I don't want to give you the seeds. Does that make sense? The seeds have got to be your own. They've got to be internal in your group. They've got to be something that you're willing to come up with and that only your group would be. It's great if, you know, we're doing all kinds of stuff up here. We've got people learning Mandarin, Chinese, Russian, Spanish. Lou's learning Ebonics. And, right, Lou?
Word.
You just said word.
What word?
What word? I don't know what word you're talking about. Word to your mother. Don't bring mothers into this. So you've got to, you actually have to find one or two people and designate this as a skill set, you know, and work on it. And don't neglect it. Don't say, well, you know, we're worried about beans, bullets, and bandages. It's just as important. What good is if you've got critical need-to-know strategic information that your little militia found off on its own little thing that it's doing, and you need to get it to the other militias, and you have no idea how to communicate with them. And I'm not even talking about frequencies and all that. I'm talking about if there's, you don't want to broadcast it in plain English so that the enemy knows that you know that and that they know, because they'll change what they're doing. And be specific in some of these things. You know, you don't want to have a conversation like I'm having now. Thank you, Minuteman. You don't want to be able to write a novel in this stuff. You just want specifics. Routes, targets, times of day. Routes, targets, times of day. Let me give you an example. Okay, let's say your militia is in a mountain region like ours, and every day we watch the same stretch of highway. Nothing happens up here because we're away from the cities. It's not part of the battle. The UN troops haven't been up here yet. Once in a while, we get flyover. We're flyover country. But yeah, my job is to watch 198, and we make sure that around the clock, we're watching 198. Well, one day, a recon vehicle comes up to 198, goes past our location, never notices, goes into the park. Now, don't you think that would be critical need-to-know information the first time ever we see a UN vehicle going up into Sequoia National Park? So maybe two or three vehicles. Let's make it more realistic. Vehicles usually don't go anywhere alone in a combat zone. Come up, but they're obviously some type of recon. We don't shoot at them. We don't engage them. They don't bother anybody. We don't bother them. But let's just say the militia down in Fresno may need to know about it, but they have no way of knowing about it. There's 70 miles of distance and mountains between them. But we need to let them know that, hey, they're sending some of their resources south instead of north towards you from their established base in Visalia. You know, southeast. What's, you know, you need to know that. So I'm not just going to get on and say, oh, 198, three scout vehicles this time of day. They lingered in the area for 4 hours and left. No, you got to come up with something else. The 198, you've got to come up with another name for the 198. You can't just use those numbers. Whether it's Tom, Dick, or Harry, you have to have another word for it, just like in The Great Escape, remember? How can I designate that? If I send them a message that says, three duckies were on Tom's back porch Sunday afternoon. They ate the dog food and left. They're going to be like, what? What do you mean by this? If I don't prearrange and have pre-established relationships, how are they going to know what that means? And that would be a poor way to send it anyway, because that would be kind of weird.
Mutant ducks.
Huh?
Mutant ducks.
Yeah, we'd use zombie ducks. You know, we got zombie ducks coming up. You know, there's got to be better ways to do it. So you have to have a designated name for it. We could, like, for up here, we could call it Sierra Trail. Now, everybody that doesn't live in the area would be like, what does that mean? The UN troops probably wouldn't know. Well, we got another break here. We're going to come back after the break, take some time, get some cookies, you know, eat those more leftovers, and we'll be right back.
I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder, and bolder they grow as they go to the fore. Then there's nothing in the world can hold up our plan. When stout-hearted men can stick together, man to man.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
What in blazes does this mean?
I don't know, Lou. But I do know that if people would send us just the paltry sum of $50 a month, I could see to it that Lou breaks his addiction to NyQuil. It's a sad little thing to see.
Yeah.
We should
yeah.
He's doing everything he can to stay awake, poor little feller. How much NyQuil did you drink, Lou?
You ever see a buffalo?
No, I've never seen a buffalo. Are you seeing buffaloes right now?
Yeah.
Lou's hallucinating. He's seeing buffalo.
Yeah.
How are the buffalo, Lou? Do you like the buffalo, Lou?
Friendly.
Are they friendly, buffalo, Lou? He's all confused.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to say. Well, if you were in the chat room, you would have seen how Warlin and I worked out a little code here. I was telling him that I saw enemy troops moving on the road that I'm instructed to watch, and it came out like, oh my, on the way out to the outhouse, I saw a snake on the path. So that tells Warlin that I saw enemy troops moving on the road by my house. And his response is, I'll send the garden weasel, which of course everyone knows I'll send the garden weasel means you're on your own, you're probably going to die a horrible death. So we've got to work these kind of codes out, and I just gave that one away so you guys can use that. I like garden weasel. We can say chia pet for the President of the United States. That's been kind of our, you know, they're selling Obongo chia pets.
Yep.
Stacy on the break was reading Yahoo News, and it turns out that Walmart is going to start catering to Muslim food and diet concerns. Just like now, you go and they got the kosher aisle and the Hispanic aisle and the Asian aisle at the super Walmarts. Well, now they're going to have a Muslim aisle. Of course, they'll have to move it away from everything else. It'll have to be special. They'll probably replace something I like the sporting goods section or something. And, you know, so it won't be near any of the other foods. But, and at first, you know, first blush, you're like, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to get all mad. But just think of the prank opportunities. If they do that in our local Walmart, I'm going to be bringing Spam and putting it over there. I'll be rubbing like Crisco. Is Crisco? No, not. What, we just animal grease on the counters? There's all kinds of things you can do. So, yeah, look for your local Walmart to be... What do they call... Because I know the term kosher. What do they call Muslim dietary foods? Pretty pathetic. And then soon they'll be demanding the whole store. Once they get a few aisles, they'll demand the whole store. Watch. Keep an eye on that one. So thank you, Stacy, for telling us about that. Oh, I had all this stuff I was going to talk about. Making fun of Lewis made me forget it. Codes is what we're talking about. Encryption. Plan it now. Have it ready. Don't write it down. Have it something you can put to memory. Make it plain English. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Remember the movie Battle of the Bulge? They were all waiting for the second part of some poem to be read. You know, things like that. You've got it could be simple like that, just simply reading poems. That's why the enemy hates free media. You know, like in Venezuela, they're trying to shut down the only opposition radio station. Because whether they want to admit it or not, the other radio station that is opposing Chavez is pumping out tons of intel and data and how it does things or doesn't do things. I don't know of any conflict where there is truly a neutral party at all. So if there's media going on, something's going out. I can tell you personally, I got a tour when it used to be at March Air Force Base, Armed Forces Radio Television. I've told this story before. I went in there as a member of the city of Moreno Valley. They were just doing it, and I started asking all kinds of questions. They didn't like it. But I found out through one of the technicians that every stream they send out is encrypted with data. It's for the embassies. It's for the ships at sea. It's not for, you know, G.I. Joe to hear Madonna. That they could care less about that. But because of the technology, everything's encrypted underneath it. The ships at sea pick up the stuff. It's all done that way. The television, everything. The dweebies that go out and write the little stories and do the video and stuff, that's not even in they care. But they just want it. So that they can embed stuff in it. So the media you're using today has probably got tons of stuff in it. It probably does. You think Al Jazeera is just sending out beheading videos? No. The English made certain songs sung by the Irish illegal. Yeah. Great point, Worland. Songs. Look at during the time of slavery, the songs that the slaves would sing in the fields. They would sing. They were directions on how to head north. They encrypted it in songs. The Irish were told they couldn't sing certain liberation songs because there was stuff in them that was intel transfer. So, I mean, it didn't matter if it was digitally transferred or over the airwaves or whatever. Just spoken, sung words can have huge meaning. The Rising of the Moon was one song suppressed by the English, Warland's saying. See, that one I didn't know about. But the point is... The reason that tyrants have to suppress anything that goes out is because anything can be used for code. And the sooner you realize that, the better you'll be. The way you tie something down in the back of a truck, the pattern of the ropes could send a message. You don't think so? The way a woman wears her hair in the street could send a message to the right receivers. It's a cool thing about communications. There has to be a transmitter and a receiver. If you're just transmitting and there's no receiver, it's kind of like if a tree falls in the woods, does anybody hear it? So it doesn't do any good to come up with a code that nobody knows what it is on the other end. You're just making yourself feel really cool. Look, I'm an elitist. Nobody knows what this word means. It's going to be a very lonely rebellion if that happens. And short. I've got tons of stuff in my head that I just want to share with you guys, but I don't want to overload you. I mean, the way farmers plant their crops, the distance in the furrows, the distance between pickets on a fence, different pickets missing on a fence, different days, you know, colors you paint your roof, and there's so many. We talked about light patterns, shade patterns, clothes on a clothesline was a good one that I found used by people throughout history. You know, if there's blue jeans left on the line, it's safe to approach the house. If I don't put the blue jeans up, stay in the tree line until the enemy leaves. You know, for safe houses. That's where these things are going to come really critical. Safe houses for your people. Places where you can go get food. Places where you can hold up overnight. Especially, you know, in post-war South, during so-called, you know, re-destruction, places for the guerrillas to hide. When it was safe to approach these buildings. Worland saying lines from movies can be used. Why do you think we were always playing John Wayne? Why do you think we're always playing sound effects? And yes, even Michael Jackson has a message that could be utilized. If we play Michael Jackson on the radio show, there are certain people that know there are certain things they need to do. Or not. It goes back to it. Sometimes it's what you're not doing that matters. You know, if I decide to come back on the air without playing my theme song, the little roll in there that we put together, that could just mean that the computer crashed, or it could mean something completely different, doesn't it? And if, you know, it just goes by unnoticed, even more so. If the announcer on the radio station doesn't say anything about it and you just hear a beep or a tone or a clunk or a whistle, you'd be surprised how much code is going on around you. How many messages are being sent? And I'm not talking about just the glance or a raised eyebrow, you know, body language, although that's a cool one too, body language, that could be used. I knew, let's see, should I do that one? I had a partner in a certain concern we were doing, and he walked every day with a limp, a certain path from his house to his work, and it was my job to watch him. He didn't necessarily have a bum leg. In fact, he would put a rock in his shoe to make him limp. So like 4 weeks I'm watching this guy. And he was undercover doing this thing. Well, one day, he doesn't have the limp. Little hitch in his get along, but he doesn't have the limp. So that way if anybody asks, you say, oh no, it's getting better. My hamstring's getting better. This is getting better. That's when we knew it was time to swoop in and bust the place where he was undercover, because a certain thing was going to happen on that day and exchange was going to be made. It's much too risky to have him call in every day to a handler. It's much too risky for him to meet me on a park bench and go, hello, comrade. But when this guy stopped limping, he took the rock out of his shoe. And if people at work asked him, he was just supposed to say, oh, my leg's feeling better today. My ankle's not so bad. I found a new drug. Whatever it was, we knew it meant, at a pre-designated time, it was time to raid that business. And we use that one a lot, he and I. We used to have tells, physical tells. If he was watching me through optics and I was talking to a subject we were trying to get information on, and I made a certain physical movement, let's say, for instance, I did the Carol Burnett thing and tugged my right ear, it meant distract them. Call, use their phone, call them, I need to get out of here, think this isn't good, I'm not comfortable. Things are getting a little hinky. Code. You know? Hand signals are a great form of code. It's funny, up here, we everybody's, oh, you got to use these specific military hand signals. And then we go train with other people and we use those. But we have our own. We have our own hand signals that we've done. And if you don't know them, you're not going to know that they're even coming. It's like in baseball. But if we do certain things, we know that there's somebody, like if the pastor wants me to watch a certain person in the church, somebody new coming in or somebody old that's being a little weird, whether for good reasons or bad reasons, he gives me a signal from the pulpit. I know what it is. And nobody else knows it but him and I. And that's the way it should be. It's not intended for a broadcast. You've got to work on these things now. They're good for the family. They're good for the workplace, especially if you work in a high, you know, someplace that has cash. Crime rates are only going to start going up. You know, do you want to walk in from the back room, you know, after you've been cleaning up to find, you know, some guy with a shotgun pointed at your manager? Or do you want to have something that's already pre-set up, pre-designated, that it's safe to come out? You know? I tell you, the time to be doing this is not when you're on the ground and there's a boot on your neck. Hey, Bob. Yeah, Jim. Don't you think we ought to work out some kind of code to let me know when these guys are at the front door? Okay. No. Not going to work. Do you have a process and a procedure for knocking on doors? It's something as simple as that. It's a great way to start. Entering and leaving rooms. Leaving color-coded messages. You know, somebody comes to your house. You don't want the postman or the UPS guy or the random guy coming by to know where you're at, but you want your buddy Bill to know where you're at. So you have a pre-designated color-coded piece of paper hanging up on the door. Now people look at that and go, why is there a piece of paper hanging on the door? Oh, I don't know. Must mean something, but I don't know what it means. But yet when your buddy comes by, oh, he's at the shooting range. I'm going to meet him at the shooting. Oh, he's at the church. Oh, he's at work. Oh, he's going to be gone all night. Isn't that a good idea? Work it out with your kids first, then expand from there. Your family should be your first level of militia anyway. Start small, work big, make it fun, make it a game. Come up with flashcards and then destroy and eat the flashcards. Don't just destroy them, then eat them. Then poop them out, and then burn the poop. You don't, that's, isn't that right, Lou? Do you even have a pulse now, Lou? When's the last time you gave him NyQuil?
This morning.
Wow, you're a light drinker if you've had it in your system since this morning and you're still like this. I'm finally getting over the cold. hey, you guys were mocking me when I was dead for a week before. You guys were all, oh, ho, ho, ho. Stacey's all like, oh, so you're sick and have a miserable cold? Ha ha, let me run over this rock. Let me make you change a tire. That wasn't your plan? Make me change a tire in the rain on a rock slide? Oh, okay, well, thank you. Thank you anyway, even though it was unplanned. It gave me a Sunday message to share with everyone on not murdering your wife when she drives over big rocks on the road. Having a good attitude even when your wife tries to kill you all with a boulder. She's all, oh, that is not true. But that's just the way it goes. See, I just passed like 8 codes to her and you guys don't even know it. See, that's, I'm telling her what I want for dinner in a code and you guys didn't even pick up on it, did you? Yeah, we're getting rice and beans. It's got to be that smooth. It's got to be right there, and it's got to be so the person knows what, you know, as long as the receiver knows. And like I said, make it a game. Make it a game. Lou and I were doing hand signals for a while, but now that he's a junkie on NyQuil, I don't know if we'll be able to do it anymore. We're going to have to send him off to, like, the Betty Ford Clinic for NyQuil addiction. I wish you guys could see him, man. He's just like, huh?
He's not feeling too good. He's relaxed.
You feel great right now. I can see from the way the look at you feel wonderful. You're like, NyQuil. Why didn't you guys ever give me NyQuil before?
Yeah, I had it before.
Ooh. So you've been to the NyQuil happy place before?
No.
No. But are you feeling okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to throw up on me or something? What's wrong?
No.
No. You going to go to bed when we go home, little feller? Mm-hmm. You're a tender little feller. Need to take a nap? He just threw a fist at me. Lewis. I don't know, what's cold turkey for NyQuil? Cold turkey, we have lots of it.
Cold turkey.
Yeah, whoa, yeah, not wild turkey. Stacy's like, wild turkey? I've never drank. I don't know these jokes. I don't know any. I know wild turkey's a drink though. Folks, I know it's starting to degenerate, but I was hoping to get more phone calls that folks would go, yeah, me and my wife worked it out. Whenever I wear my underpants on the outside, it means commies are in the living room. But nobody, you know, I thought I'd be getting lots of suggestions or like, yeah. But when I was a kid, when my mom wanted my dad to know it was unsafe to come home, she fired a shotgun in the air 2 times. You know, that would work. That would work. I know, especially a lot of the guys listening on Liberty Radio are probably like, this is old hat, this is old stuff, why are you rehashing it? Well, you wouldn't believe the number of people we get that have never even thought of this kind of stuff. There's so many new people coming to the cause, and their minds are like tabula rasa, blank slate. And to their defense, you know, things haven't been this bad. But, you know, I've been living in the same world most people have been living in, and I've always done this kind of stuff. Granted, I was the kid that always thought James Bond was cool, and I got into that kind of thing. God put me in places where it worked out well, but I still needed these skills. You know, a little bit of downward pressure. And it's like I heard, I used in my Sunday school lesson, as life narrows, calamity comes. So now is the best time possible. Don't worry about what you haven't done, what you haven't got done. Just take the opportunity now to start getting these things ready. Yeah, that's right. He did a suggestion. That's okay. You didn't have to call in. Minuteman's like feeling bad. No, you and Warland don't have to call in all the time. It's okay. It's the guy that's hiding up in his cabin with his listening to us on satellite with his satellite phone that should be calling in. You know, the Ted Kaczynskis of the world that we want to hear from. People that have, you know, actually put a lot of thunking into this. Here's something offbeat. No, Minuteman, half the stuff I used was stuff that we talked about on the phone earlier. So that's good. You know, it's great. Ladies listening in. Do we have any ladies listening in the audience? We have Olima, Stacy doesn't wear makeup. Ladies that wear makeup. Work out a code depending on what kind of makeup you have. The problem is men don't notice that kind of thing unless they're told. You know, there's nothing worse than like, well, what, honey? Aren't you going to say anything?
Is dinner ready?
I got my hair cut.
Oh, it looks real good.
You know, we're not going to notice that kind of stuff. But maybe lady to lady? They may notice when they change their hair, change their lipstick, change their... I don't even know the terms. The way they carry themselves, you know, if they're wearing 6-inch spikes versus 22-inch spikes, or I don't know. They'll notice stuff like that. Use your women for your codes. In England, they used women all the time for code breaking. They're very attention to detail oriented, which means inversely that they can come up with some good codes. Especially if we were talking earlier about the baking codes. Be a good task for a lot of the women, you know, especially if you're, you know, you've got a bunch of women that don't want to, you know, do all the mud and the blood stuff, you know, and you've already got a decent medical crew. Cross-train your medical crew to work on the, you know, the crypto stuff. One of the last things I wanted to touch on, and I forgot about it. Yeah, women do have all their own codes already, don't they? You know, just don't use Sex in the City as the purpose of your code. Nobody wants to have to watch that. I think I watched 5 minutes of it one time just because I was like, what kind of show is this? But yeah, codes and stuff like that, women have them. Every group has them, you know, and men will never break them. Yeah, I'll never understand what a woman wants or says. You know, I got to bet. What do you mean by that? Nothing. What does nothing mean?
Nothing.
Are you okay? Yeah, everything's okay. Is it really okay, or are you just saying that? Yeah, it's okay. And then, like, at 2 in the morning, she wakes you up. How could you? You knew something was wrong. I'll never understand women. So women would be great for the code stuff. And I was going to go into something here, and I just forgot what it was. I told you that I had something that I was going to end with. Oh, navigational codes. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to share specifically what I recommend for navigation. You get clear overlays, like you do for overhead projectors. Remember those things? Clear overheads. And you have a common map book, whether it's a grid map or you use, like we do, DeLorme for your region. And you come up with codes for the page. You come up with codes for the grids on those. And you just an alternate numerical or word or whatever. Whatever you want to do. People memorize that. Make it simple. But the overlays themselves that lay over them will be distributed per operation or per you know, need level. And they get rotated. They get rotated heavily. You break it down into 4 different quadrants on the page. Green, red, blue, yellow, whatever, 4 different colors. And it changes on a random basis. And you use that to designate different locations. You have different names for roads. You have different names for creeks, terrain features. And this takes some study. But this way you can transfer your location, other people's locations, quickly, either through written, using a runner or something, or through radio transmissions, or through, you know, dots and dashes, you know, whatever, smoke signals. But get everybody the same map book. I prefer DeLorme. If they don't have one for your region, oh well, but they've got one for North Central and Southern California. I love them. We've got encoded different meanings for different pages. We've got different encodings for the grids, and we have our own grid that overlays that. So that's even better. So you could say, for instance, use the Marx Brothers. You have 4 different overlays. Or how many Marx Brothers are there? You could start out with Harpo, so that way everybody knows to go to the Harpo grid overlay. Then the next one would be the color, red. And red on Harpo is different than red on Chico, Zeppo, or whatever. They lay it down, and then you break it down from there, and that's how you give out locations. If you go giving out, you know, 10-digit grid coordinates, they're going to know what it is. And if you use just numbers in place of other numbers, they're going to figure it out. They will. So you rotate these. You start out small with, you know, use the Marx Brothers. You use, who would be another one? There's 3 Stooges. You know, there's more than 3. There's 4 Stooges, actually, isn't there? But and then you add to them. You add to those. So when you start out a conversation, what will be the rally point? Then I'm going to use plain language for the rest of it so you don't get confused. What will be the language, the thing? Okay. So you tell them the rally point will be Groucho. That tells them to use the Groucho overlay. Then you want to tell them it's on page 96, but you don't want to say page 96. So you have a pre-designated code word for 96. Usually 2 numbers, one representing 9, one representing 6. And then a word in the middle that means absolutely nothing. So you're going to say 3 words. So you say Groucho, Tandem, Leopard, seashell. Tandem and seashell are the real numbers. So, you know, okay, that means 95. So they go, okay, I take my Groucho overlay, I put it on page 95 of my DeLorme that I'm using for the region that I'm in. And then you tell them yellow. So they go to the yellow grid, and then you walk them in from there with your own private codes. Does that make sense? It worked well. We used it for rally point designation. We used it for training, you know, op 4. You know, we're doing op 4 to designate where somebody was to avoid them. Because let's face it, I don't have air support or artillery. I don't need, even if I'm looking for a cache, I don't need, you know, 1 meter correct grid coordinates accurate, because we're not dealing with that. We're militia. Even if we did have artillery, you don't need it that accurate. And let's say you've got a house, or let's say, for instance, it's designated specific structures and things. You come up with code words for those, and you can convey those using written or transmitted verbal. And then you rotate those out. The problem is you use a code for a random amount of time, and then you change it. You never keep using the same code. Never. Don't get comfortable, because if you're using the same code for a year, you've got to assume it's been compromised. Look at the lesson from World War II. The Japanese never even knew that their code was compromised even before hostilities started. One of my biggest arguments about Pearl Harbor is we knew because we had broken their code. They used pretty much the same machine that Germany had given them that Germany used. But we never let them know. And that's another thing. If you know the enemy's code, don't go, oh, we know the enemy's code. Let's go hit all their targets. They're going to realize, hey, they broke our code, and they're going to change it. So you're not going to know right away. You say, oh, if they knew our code, they'd come wipe us out. No. Strategy outweighs tactics sometimes. Well, that was 2 hours. This first 2 hours was done in only 5 days. I did it with a sore throat, a half-drunk kid, and an angry wife, and a giggly audience member. Don't hit me, Stace, please. Just remember, we do this because we care. We do this because we can for now. And we do it because it's the right thing to do. We want to share with you what little bit of information we have. That's it. And if for some reason in the middle of a sentence I flounder, it's only because the word flounder is important to somebody who needs to hear it. I'm just kidding. Keep listening. Keep watching. Keep going to DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info. Don't forget, our pastor's going to be in Montana on January 2nd, giving a convocational speech to their state house and senate up there. If you can swing by, it'd be great, you know, for you to see it. It's open to the public. Remember, we need your help financially and prayer-wise. So if you can give a little, give a little. If you can give a lot, give a lot. We appreciate both ends of the spectrum. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And everything you do in the holy cause of liberty makes a difference. We don't do this because we have to. We do it because God asks us to. We do it because we want to, because it's the right thing. So God bless you, and have a pleasant tomorrow.